Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you in the house of God and looking for glasses. Y'all, I'm in between offices. I keep moving. We hired the new guy, get kicked out of my office, and so I'm in between offices. I'm on my sixth office, and I'm right next to the exit sign now, so I don't know what that means. So I think I'm on my way out. So it's a blessing this morning. I went to the Spanish-speaking service, and I understood Genesis because they said Genesis. That's about it. So had to leave, and obviously it's hard to get used to because Catalyst is happening at 9. Our Spanish-speaking service happens at 8, and so we're now learning each other, and we've got to be quiet when we walk down the hallways because some people just don't know how to be quiet. You know that? And they're loud all the time, so we have to put signs up saying, quiet, we're having service. And so the worship service this morning, Pastor Eddie, thank you for that. I don't know what I'm thanking you for other than being honorable to the Word of God. Somebody asked me this week, said, how do you know he's teaching the Bible? So that's a good question. But he has a lot of ministry under his belt in English, so I understand, and we have lots of conversations and doctrines of things that we understand, those key doctrines that today we'll see even again, that the Apostle Paul told the pastor Titus to preach. And that really and truly, if we can actually erase the name for a moment, that he told Pastor Clint and Pastor Eddie and any other pastor to preach and the church to receive these doctrines. And y'all, you know today, doctrine is like an ugly word in our society because God's word, doctrine simply means teachings, the teachings of the Word of God. And listen, when we tinker with the Word of God, we start tinkering with our lives and we get so far off track that we don't even know who we are anymore. We have this identity that we say Christianity or we're Christians, and then you ask the world who's a Christian, and everyone from someone who curses God's name all the way through someone who actually lives pure and holy life as best they can through the Spirit will proclaim Christ as Lord. And so we have to say, what is a Christian today as defined by Scriptures? And what is a church member today as defined by Scripture? So if you know, we're on the island of Crete. Welcome back to the island of Crete. That's where this book is written to. So the church is listening. In the church communities all over the island, Paul said, go to them and teach them. And as if you were here last week, Paul wrote to Titus. He said, go and teach the older men to teach the younger men. Teach the older women to teach the younger women. And he even calls out a class of servants, those who are bond servants. Call them out and tell them they're free. And really and truly, all of them were under the oppression of the Roman government. And really, everyone in Rome, the word servant bothers some people, or slaves. Everyone was a slave to Caesar. They were his servants. Everyone, he was a god, so in his own mind, so everyone was really and truly a slave to Caesar. So Rome is now here. Rome's taken over, and the people are, we know about Cretans. We read about them, right? There's one of their own, Paul says. They're low bellies, and they're lazy. They're conniving. They're sneaky. They're the folks that actually are running all the casinos. They're doing everything they can to actually bring about the scourge of life. They're the ones selling lottery tickets, right? Y'all know lottery tickets. And if you play lottery, listen, lottery's for the poor and stupid. Poor want to get rich, and the stupid want to keep playing. So just know that. When you play lottery, listen, you're trying to get rich quick. All you want is a quick hit, and if I just make X amount of dollars, then I can actually, I won't ever do it again. And it's gambling. It's a form of actually either poverty speaking out loud, saying just one more ticket, and that one more dollar, listen, can be the last thing. We know people, if you look at any lottery commercials in Georgia or South Carolina we get, it says, listen, if you have a gambling problem, call this number, right? It quickly says, it knows it's going to take you to a debased place, and it gives you a 1-800 number to call to respond for that debate. Same thing with alcohol today in our culture. People don't like to talk about it because it's taboo because they're alcoholics. There's a lot of people in the church today that are alcoholics. Say, Pastor, there's nothing wrong with one drink with friends, a glass of wine, Pastor, at dinner. Well, that's right. There's nothing wrong with a glass of sweet tea or a glass of water either. Because that one leads to two, and that two leads to three. And listen, you can be anywhere you want to go. So, well, people overseas, I've been all over the world. And people, listen, in France, they're so, but France, the French drink wine at every meal. And they're alcoholics as well. Go to France. If you've never been there, don't talk about them unless you've been there. Amen? I know it's quiet in here because I know what's happening, right? I don't come check your refrigerator because I don't care. I was led astray by alcohol when I was a young man in the military. That's why I know what it is I speak of, not because I'm a Baptist preacher, because of experience and The Bible's very clear. You have Christian liberties. That is true. But drunkenness is a sin. And those who practice those sins, the Bible says, will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. You see, now we're touching on toes, aren't we? We're touching those things because it gives me a good time. Well, let's watch and see. These are the things that Paul is writing to Titus. He's going to write to the church and live a godly life. He's going to give an address to the church. So let's look at Titus, if you would, chapter 2. And I'll quit meddling. I'll get into verse 11. Because the doctrines of the word of God will offend you. They will correct you. They will rebuke you. They'll put you back on right paths. Verse 11, Titus 2, verse 11. When you're there, say amen. Amen. The Bible says this, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you." Would you join me in prayer this morning? Our God and our Father, Lord, today we know that you are in charge of all things. We know that all good gifts come from you, our Heavenly Father above. And Father, as we stand and preach today, knowing in our society, Lord, it seems like church after church, denomination after denomination is turning their backs on your holy word. Father, may it never be here. May it never be in our family, not in our house, not in our personal houses, our homes. Father, may we, even though you're so infinite and, Lord, sometimes hard to understand, it is by faith that we read your word and go, "Lord, blessed be the name of the Lord." Our songs, Lord, lift praise to you. Our hearts and minds, Lord, as they're weighed down with all the burdens of the week, Father, would you forgive us as we process through those sins of anger, jealousy, Lord, overworking, whatever it might be, Lord, that's our top or our practice. Lord, would you forgive us and put us right back on the tracks so that we might be on our way to glory. Today, Lord, in your presence, we want to bow our heads and our hearts and say, "Lord, here we are, your people, wanting to hear from you so that we might be equipped to go out and do those things that you have called the church to do." Now, Lord, we know these things are impossible for us to do in and of ourselves. They're hard things you challenge us to do. Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do all things through Christ who gives us the strength. We love you. We thank you that you've given us the opportunity to read your word in our language. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen and amen. If you didn't receive a bulletin today, there's notes on the back of the bulletin, and I'd like for you to actually follow with me in the bulletin, and then we're going to actually go running back to Scripture. We have a lot of jumping around to do today, so bear with me and fasten your seatbelts, because here we go. I want you to see this in your notes, first and foremost. We're talking about God's saving grace. Now, it might be that we talk about grace, grace, God's grace, right? We sing about it. We sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. And we go and read how sweet the word is. Even secular people will sing about God's amazing grace and have no clue what they're talking about. And grace is simply this. This is, and we know that it's been summarized, and it's a really cheap summary, but I'll just go ahead and repeat it in case you've never heard it. Grace stands for God's riches at Christ's expense. That's a cheap way of saying it. Basically, you didn't deserve it. It's unmerited favor from God. You were on your way. Your destination, if you will, when you were born, your destination was hell. But God, he intervened on the way, and he brought you about to a place that you would hear the word of God and that you would respond to God. So when you hear of God's word, you hear of God's grace, don't spurn it, because listen, I want to be very clear. To know God's grace is to know God's Son. His name is Jesus Christ. You can't know his grace without his Son. You must have a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some people wish, I wish I had an experience like Paul, just knocked off the horse and Jesus would speak to me. Let me tell you, there's even a greater and more powerful experience you have with God. When he calls you, you will never mistake that he called you. Do you understand? His voice, when he calls, it's so loud, it's not audible like, "Clint, come up, come down," right? It's very clear within our hearts. When we hear the word of God, he will burn, he will singe if our hearts, "This word is true. I am a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. I am, man, if anybody knew what I did last week or last night, I would be so embarrassed if it came up on the screen. But listen, your sin is in before God in heaven. He sees everything that you do. He knows every thought that you think. He's God. He's infinite. He's everywhere all the time. He's all powerful. He's all knowing, the Bible says. This is the wonderful thing about God. He knows all the things about you, yet he still loves you and extends his grace to you and me. By faith, we receive that. And by the way, don't think that you did something because he gave you the faith to believe it. So God invites you, if you will, to his party to be saved. And then God gives you the ability to believe him through faith. And really, it wraps all up around the word of God. We must, listen, to know God's grace is to know God's son, Jesus Christ. You must hear that you're a sinner. You must hear that Jesus Christ came to earth, that he actually lived a sinless life, born of a virgin, that he died on a cross, that he was buried, and really God raised him from the dead 3 days later according to the scriptures. Those are imperative beliefs to be saved. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, believing what I just said, believing what the word of God says, the Bible says, shall be saved. You say, well, how does that happen? That's where I'm at the end of my rope. I don't know how God does that. I don't even know why God does that other than what his word says about you and about me. So now we are talking about 2,000 years ago, churches on the island of Crete off the coast of Turkey in America in Aiken, South Carolina. What does this have to do with me? And I will answer you, it's everything about our Christian life. The Apostle Paul in his letter to Pastor Titus was speaking about the appearing of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, when he wrote about the remarkable, undeserved grace of God that made salvation possible for mankind. Just a cursory read here in verse 11, you'll actually just, if you're not careful, you skip rocks. You'll jump over, oh, it's God's grace again. We're talking about God's grace. I want to be very clear, and I'll give it away more than one time today. Verse 11 is not talking just about God's extension of grace. The Bible's very clear. If you read it carefully, it's talking about Jesus Christ. Verse 11 is all about Christ. And if you're not careful, you'll say, wait a minute. Jesus comes later. Look what it says in verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. We asked this morning, I teach the young adults, has God ever appeared to you? How do we know Jesus Christ some 2,000 years later after his death, burial, and resurrection? He's never appeared to me, but has he? Because Jesus is very clear, we'll get to this in a moment as well, that he told his disciples, I'm going away. And if I go away, what's he going to do? He's going to ask the Father, and we're going to have the Comforter, the Teacher, the Holy Spirit come and lead us. So we really do have an actual encounter with God. Every time someone's saved, every time someone rejoices today, listen, there's an expression to God our Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We have an opportunity today to understand God because God still dwells among men. Not only dwells among us, but he dwells within us. If you read the scripture, let's continue what Paul told Titus. He tells us very clearly, and if you go back to verses 1 through 10, but as for you in verse 1, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. We talked about this already. Paul went through and said, listen, Pastor Titus, teach this to the old men. Old men, teach the younger men. Younger men, obviously, there's other places in Timothy, younger men are to treat older men like fathers. How many younger men today disrespect older men? We're constantly teaching, are we not? And as we go, we're to be telling the truth. Listen, do this. If anyone ever told you, rebuked you for somehow how you spoke to someone, you treated that person with disrespect. You should need to actually apologize. You ever encountered someone like that? Young man, you shouldn't talk to your mother like that. You ever do that? No, Pastor, that's their business. They're raising their children their own way. Listen, as we're going, we're making disciples, and somebody will say inevitably, who do you think you are? That's your great opportunity. That's your door of opportunity to step in and say, let me tell you who I am. I'm an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. My job as an ambassador is to preach the message of reconciliation. My job is to tell you about him and tell you about who you are and tell you about what he wants to do in and through your life. He said, well, that's for preachers to do only. No, it's not. Watch and see. This is the doctrine for older men, for older women. The problem is we read this and we give it just a smattering there. We just stick it on somewhere on our notes and then we leave it because if we dwell on this and study this, that means we have to live it. And if we have to live it, that means we're going to be held accountable for what it says. So let's get through and look. are we doing this? So as you take notes, I want you to put a note beside this and say, yes, I'm doing this right now. I am that man. I am who Paul is talking about, who God is speaking to. So he speaks to it's ironic to us that he would speak to older men, older women, younger men, younger women, and then he would just have a category of servants, those people who just feels like, well, nobody loves me. I'll just have to do what everybody tells me to do. I'm just a servant. And this was common in their culture. I want you to go over, if you would, Galatians 3:26 and look with me what Paul tells the Galatians as well. Galatians 3:26. When you're there, say amen. The Bible says this, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. You don't get to be a son of God unless you're his son or daughter by faith in Christ Jesus. Understand that today. Because this whole mentality of universalism that, hey, listen, we're all children of God. We're all going to die. And when we die, we're all going to go to heaven. Don't listen to these preachers, these naysayers being so negative today. Don't let them mess up your fun. And I want to tell you, I've told you before, we will all see God the Father one day. But those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior will see him as our Father. We'll see him as Redeemer. Listen, we'll celebrate in glory for eternity. But those of you who have never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will face him, and you will face him at the great white throne judgment. You'll be called up. If you're passed away already, you'll be called back to life because you will never die. None of us that have ever been born will ever die. Even though you'll be eternally dying, but you'll be eternally living as you're eternally dying in torment, in a place separated from God, the most horrific thing that you can imagine. How many of us would love to step on the head of the devil? Because of all the sin he's brought in this world, torture, we've lost loved ones, murders, whatever it might be, we say, if I had a chance to just absolutely take the devil and do something with the devil, what's the worst thing you possibly could think of to do to the devil? Now remember, he's an angel. He's an archangel. He can't die, so you can't kill him, okay? That's the natural thing. So you can't kill him, but what is the worst thing in your mind you could create that you would love to do to the devil? How about build a place called hell, right? Create a place called hell and put him there forever. Everyone who rejects the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what God's going to do to you. You're going to do it to yourself. Reality is today you hear the message and you hear the truth. If you do not receive the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus said that hell was created for the devil and his angels. Do you understand this? And if you don't receive the Lord Jesus Christ today, if you, listen, don't hearken his voice today, the Bible says that's your eternity. Whatever you think you can do bad to the devil, that's, listen, he's God and we're not. That's what this place is for. So people that have died without Christ will be brought up out of we call it hell or the place of the dead, Sheol. Your Bible might say, if you have a King James, the pit has different names. And they'll be brought before God one by one to give an account for their life and what they did with Jesus Christ. And then whatever excuse, Matthew 7, you can read the excuses. There's some already listed. Jesus tells us what those excuses are, some of them are going to be. And Jesus is going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. You workers of iniquity. And those people will be transferred, if you will, into the lake of fire forever. There's no coming back. There's no a few years and then you're done. It's forever. So let's go back in, if you would. So it's by faith. Galatians 3:26. For you are all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And by the way, who gives you the faith? Say it to me, church. Say it to me, church. Who gives you the faith? God does, all right? For as many of you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's not water baptism. That's Holy Spirit baptism. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if, circle that if. I have it circled in my Bible for a reason. If somebody gets my Bible when they die, if they look in the scripture, and if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. To the promise. Listen, God's got a people. Listen, you say, well, I'm not Jewish. Neither am I that I know of, but I'm being grafted in. I'm part of Abraham's seed. Look at your notes, if you would. Go to the second part. I want you to see this. God's saving grace is for all. Older men, older women, younger men and younger women, servants. There is no distinction with God. All who are saved become one in Christ Jesus. You start thinking about, wait a minute. Father, I pray for them that they become one as we are one. And so what is this saying? That do I have some kind of access and some kind of connection to the Father? The answer is yes. If you read the scripture, wait a minute now. God the Father, creator of all things, like God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives inside of me and around me if I'm a Christian. I have access and I'm a joint heir with Jesus. What's his is mine. And I have direct access to the Father, that I'm one with the Father. I can commune with the Father. I can pray and speak with God directly. I have first seat permission to be talking before his throne. I can go boldly 24/7 without permission because he gave me permission when I received Jesus Christ. I can go and talk to him at any time. Listen, that's what the Bible's saying about you, my brother, my sister. You have direct access to God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Bring your burdens, bring whatever you got, bring your junk, bring your anger, bring your frustration. Tell God about it. Listen, because he's ready and willing to listen. How does he listen to everybody in the world at the same time? I think you're going to ask him when he gets there, right? I don't know. He's God. We're not. We're so limited, we can see God through our little bitty window if we're not careful. I want you to continue in the notes and see this. God's saving grace in verse 12, first part of verse 12, God's saving grace gives opportunity for Christians to deny ungodliness and worldly passions. And really the word there is it teaches, or we don't like this word, it disciplines us. It spanks us, if you will. It'll say, don't do that, right? God's grace, remember, what is God's grace? Who is God's grace, I should say? Jesus Christ. And now Jesus is not physically here anymore. He said, I'm going to the Father. If I go to the Father, I'm going to send the helper, the teacher, the comforter, the counselor. And what does a good teacher do? How many of you guys remember that back in the days that when we got spanked with those big paddles in school? Anybody ever get spanked with a paddle? Raise your hand. I want you to look around. And the rest of you are lying that are older, right? So we used to have to bend over like this. And then get ready. We had a principal that always tell you, he'd tell you, get ready, brace, because he knew he was torturing him. All right, let's see. We'll do it. What grade was it? The last grade you got spanked in? Somebody call it out. What grade? I got paddled in eighth grade at Kennedy Middle School. More than one time on a regular basis. And once you got to a certain age, they quit doing it. Right now, it hurts our children's psyche. When I was a kid, it hurt your hiney, right? There's a difference, right? There's a little difference there today. What I want you to see, listen, when God comes into this place, he disciplines us. The Holy Spirit disciplines us. Don't you do that. Don't you say that. Don't you go there. Don't you, listen, those friends are old friends. Share the gospel. Get in, get out. Don't spend time with them. And what do we do? If we're not careful, if we're undisciplined, and if we come to the place that we're not listening to the Holy Spirit, we can grieve the Holy Spirit of God. When he says don't, we do. And when he says do, we don't. Listen, that's sin against God. And the Bible's replete. Listen, you don't have to ever wonder what God thinks, do you? You ever have to, like, if you got a wrong decision, right decision to make, do you have to think about it? Should I or should I not? Come on, y'all. Y'all look at me like, I'm not going to say a word because if I say something, then he might catch me, right? You're already guilty. I already know. Listen, I got a whole crowd. I'm like a comedian. I got a whole crowd. I got to make you laugh, but I don't have to make you laugh because your situation is something that's true for you. You are a sinner, and weekly and daily you sin. But God's, the Holy Spirit gets a hold of us and says, listen, don't do that. Don't say that. Don't go there. Give that up. Add this to your repertoire, if you will. Listen, watch and see what he says. God's saving grace gives opportunity, or it disciplines us. It teaches us, Christians, to deny ungodliness and worldly passions. But we could go into a deep dive of what those are, and we know what those are. Ungodliness, we know what's godly and what's not. And those things that are neutral, we have to pray about some of those things, but should I or should I not? Worldly lust, those are, most of the children are out of the room today, I know, but there's some still here. We know what those worldly lusts are. They attract all of us. And I've told you time and time again, I'll say it, I guess, until I die, until it changes, but we're not ever seem like we're changing. Those mobile devices that you're paying the devil $80 a month to lead your kids away, listen, you're killing your kids' spirit, and one day they will not be able to come back. They're learning that homosexuality is acceptable. They're learning that transgenderism, you can be any, there's like 70-something genders now. The Bible says very clearly, how does God counter that? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created male and female. He created them, right? Amen? Amen? Amen. Go to the farm. If Samaria Farms, I think they have some goats. Go out and check out the goats. Go check out the chickens. There's a rooster. There's a hen. There's a bull, there's a cow, there's a boar, there's a sow. It's deer season. Go in the woods and just sit. There's a buck and a doe. You imagine a deer walking through the woods and decide that when you get to your camera and decides, I'm not going to go in the rut. I mean, it doesn't happen. Now, what I want you to understand is the natural. We just observe in society. No one ever says, I killed the biggest, none of the guys that get together. Now, they talk about does once in a while. I killed the biggest doe in this buck conference, and you talk about the doe that you killed. Dude, you're in the wrong conference, right? Does are good for the freezer, but that's it. Who's ever bragged about the biggest doe they've ever saw? You would not believe. She had no antlers. Right? Have you ever heard it? Our turkeys. I shot this hen and her beard was, well, she didn't have a beard. And we understand that in nature. This is how foolish we've become as a society, that we've taken the word of God that's very clear, and we've taken society's worldly lusts and those desires, and we've actually said, well, maybe there is an opportunity, right? I'll continue. Let's go. We're looking for life on Mars. FYI, Morse code, there is no other life out there. Just so you know, there's principalities, there's demons, there's angels. But if you're watching Tucker Carlson or any crazy mess that's out there that's life on other planets, it doesn't exist. You're like, Pastor, show me in word. Let's do that over coffee. Okay, let's go. Stop. Just dwell on sinners need to be saved by a Savior, Jesus Christ. Apply God's grace, preach God's grace, and then listen, let everything else work itself out. Amen? Some of y'all are mad because you watched that and you believe there's aliens. I didn't hit on people who play in the lottery, alcohol. Everybody's leaving here mad next Sunday. Listen. All right, let's continue. All right. Woo! The plan, listen, we're going to get ourselves right with God. The Holy Spirit is our helper. John 16, I won't read it. I have time to read it this morning. John 16, 7 through 15. That's where Jesus told his disciples, don't stress, fellas. Don't worry. It's good for you that I'm going away, because if I go away, he's coming. And y'all, aren't you glad he's here? Aren't you glad that he walks in with you, walks out with you, that we don't go into his presence? So when I was a kid, we used to pray and invite God into our presence. Lord, we invite you here to church today. You ever heard those prayers? And if you got used to praying those prayers, don't pray those prayers. Stop it. Erase that from your memory. You never invite God into your presence. Everywhere you are, you walk into his presence, because he is already there. Amen? He lives in me and around you, but that's true. You did walk in with some part of the Holy Spirit inside of you, but you walked into his presence. This is his place. Your house is his house. Amen? So you never have to invite him anywhere. He's already there. Pick a spot, he's there. We always come into his presence. Let's continue. I want you to understand that. And Galatians 5, listen, Galatians is filled with, we preached through Galatians some time ago. Go back with me to Galatians 5, 16 through 26. I really want us to read this, because I think this is so imperative for Paul to write to the church at Galatia, but also to write to Timothy, to write to Titus. Paul is, listen, you can see that he's inspired by the Holy Spirit of God to write these things. And he writes to them and saying these words, verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, meaning it desires. There's a war going on in your heart every single day, in your mind. It's like this. Just imagine friction. As a matter of fact, let's do that. I like to do that in Bible class for our teenagers. I know it's elementary, and some of you more mature people can't do it, but let's do this together. Just start rubbing your hands together as I read this. I want you to feel what happens. Watch. Just continue to do it. If you go faster, it gets better. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Keep going. It's happening every day. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Get faster. Here we go. It's getting hot here. There are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Take it and place your hands in your face. You feel it? We understand friction brings heat. We understand some of the science behind it. But what I want you to understand, if we understand this elementary thing of friction, brings heat. Do we not understand that our lives are at war daily against God? My nature is to do the wrong thing 100% of the time. I should say 100%. I can't say 100 because that's from Pauline. 100% of the time. That's my nature. That's your nature. You have little children, wait till they start walking and talking, right? Can't wait for Tanner to be up and about, right? What's one of her first words going to be? No, right? Don't you love that about your children? Honey, don't, no, right? Doesn't matter if you're saying no to them because we say no a lot to them, right? It's natural. It's something that's natural to do the wrong things 100% of the time. But the word of God is so good, but there's a change of mind here. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, or your Bible might say patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Well, how does that play over to Titus? Watch and let's go see. Go back to your notes if you would for a second. God's saving grace offers Christians the ability to live sensible, upright, and godly lives, purposefully reflecting spiritual maturity to the world around them. The world is watching you. They're listening to what you listen to. They're listening to what you say. They're watching you and how you act. And God's constantly wanting to take you, listen, step back, step away from the world. Not get out of the world, because Paul says, listen, am I supposed to just get out of the world since all these, if you will, the Christian responsibilities are? God forbid, we're here for the long term. We're to live in it, not of it. But as we live in it, we walk as pilgrims passing through, Peter tells us, right? We're just passing through. This is not our home. Amen? It feels good. We have brick and mortar, maybe. We have a place, but this is not our home. We're passing through. I want you to see this. And if you have notes, I didn't put it in your notes today, but if you're taking notes and you really say, if you're that person that needs a checklist, I think I've given it to you before, write in Romans 12, 1 through 21. Romans 12, 1 through 21, and just write that in. If you need how to live, Paul will start it out and say, listen, he's going to tell you what to do with your mind. He's going to tell you what to do with your body. He's going to tell you how you should act. He's going to tell you how to live. He's going to give you a checklist for life. If you need a checklist, Romans 12 is your checklist, okay? If you fulfill Romans 12, you'll actually probably fulfill the rest of the scriptures. You've got to be in Christ to fulfill that, though, first and foremost. Let's continue verse 13 to 14. See this. God's saving grace empowers every Christian to confidently await the fulfillment of our blessed hope. This is the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He willingly gave himself to be crucified on our behalf to redeem us and to purchase our freedom from all wickedness. He also purifies for himself, this is you and me, praise God, a chosen and special people, his own possession. I belong to God, who are eager to do what is good. Jesus Christ is the greatest gift ever given. Can you say amen to that? And that eagerness there, that zealous, the Bible says, listen, I want to do good works. You say, well, there's nothing for me to do at church. You ever said that? I love when people come, Pastor, I'd love to help, but they ain't saying nothing for me to do. This morning, I saw hay in the hallway, and I won't say which class. They know who they are. Walked right over it. Sweep it up. We had a special event. There was a harvest. Go find a broom. Clean the mess. I saw coffee spilled out there. Guess what? I guarantee after church, it's still going to be stained in the floor, and who will clean it up? Those who are zealous for good works, right? You know who's going to clean it up? Me. There's been a pothole in the parking lot. I know, and Derek, by the way, Derek and our staff, tremendous workers. I want you to know this. Our staff are really working way beyond what they're called to do. But there's responsibilities that we have in the house of God. And listen, this is where charity begins first and foremost and goes out that way. It goes to the community. But our people, Christians, the Bible says, it's very clear, Paul told Titus, you're marked by your zealousness for good works. You say, well, Pastor, that sounds like it's too much social gospel there. Well, tell that to Jesus. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and bring what? Glory to your Father in heaven. If you seek the glory, you got it. Right? You got it. That's it. Good job. Amen. But I want to teach you, listen, as your pastors and as your leaders go forward, we're working zealously for the kingdom of God. Your work is not necessarily my work. You say, well, I just like being saved, okay? Then hold your place, if you would, your Bible, and go back to Ephesians. Let's just do it together since we're here. Ephesians 2. This is extremely important for the church today in the 21st century. We will volunteer for everything. We'll join every club. We'll go to hunt clubs, fishing clubs, golf clubs. We'll do a little bit of everything. But when it comes to working for the Lord Jesus Christ, we go, I just don't have time. And it should be, I just don't make time. Ephesians chapter 2, are you there? Say amen. Watch how verse 4 starts. Say it out loud with me. What does yours say? But God. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. And y'all, in red ink, I'll just tell you, I wrote the word wow, exclamation point. That's what God did for you and for me. I read this personally that he did it for me. I have to preach it to you, but listen, I'm soaking it all up by myself, right? And then we're going to transition to verse 8. For by grace you have been saved, how? Through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. The end. See, we don't have to work. So is he telling Titus the wrong thing? No, that's how we read the scripture if we're not careful. It's just enough right there. I'm done. You can't, of works, you can't work your way to heaven. That's true. That's not what we're saying. Let's read it again, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved, how? Through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. If you're ever confused in the Bible, you know what you should do? Keep reading, because verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? What does your translation say? For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Does God have a job assignment for you to do on this planet while you're spinning around the sun? Yes or no? Do you know what it is? Do you know what it is daily? It's not just a like once in a lifetime thing. I get to go do this one thing on the top of a mountain somewhere in the middle of somewhere. This is every moment that you're awake. It's every day that God has a plan and a purpose. You have a job assignment to do. And you say, well, Lord, how do I do it? That's exactly how you find out what it is. Sit before him, ask him, and he will show you clearly. God always speaks with clarity. You'll never be confused when you're dealing with God. You won't know maybe the timing of when. Does this change lanes, right? When do I switch lanes, God, and do this new thing that you've called me to do? What does he always say? I'll show you. Has God ever been late? Yes or no? God ever made a mistake? Yes or no? Is God always on time? Yes or no? Is God God? Are you God? So who should you listen to? God, exactly. Amen. Watch this. We're going to have a list. When you walk out those doors, we have men standing out there with lists of things that need to be done at the church. So I'm just kidding. We don't. Just look and pray and ask. Let's finish this up. Pastor Titus was responsible for preaching and teaching the standard of the kingdom living. Although the Cretans, y'all know the Cretans, these jokers had some bad reputations. It even says in chapter 1 that they were low bellies, they were lazy, they were connivers. Although the Cretans were known for their laziness and scrupulous behavior, once they became born-again believers, they had an obligation to live as citizens of God's kingdom. That's what Peter says. Hey, we're no longer here. We're passing through. You have an obligation to God to live the way God says to live. Is it easy? I will tell you, it's not if you're trying to do it by yourself, but through Christ, where Paul told the church at Philippi, I can do all things through Christ, which gives me strength, right? And what he said was, I know what it's like to live high on the hog. Y'all know what that term means? That's the good meat. That's when you're making good money. I know what it's like to be well off, and I know what it's like to be abased. I ain't got nothing. But I can do all things through Christ which gives me the strength. So how do we do things? Jesus isn't here. We just said he wasn't here. The power of the Holy Spirit, right? It's God, the Holy Spirit. He works in and through us to live this thing we call the Christian life, to do those good works that he ordained ahead of time that we should do. How do I do them? The answer is day by day. What if God calls me to do something I'm not equipped to? That's usually how he calls you. He calls you to do something you cannot do in and of yourself, something that's impossible, something you don't have the education or the pedigree, something you don't have like the professionalism to do. God will call you to do it, and it feels impossible. And some days, if you let it get to you, you'll be overwhelmed. You're like, God, I can't. He's like, exactly. Well, keep that in mind, right? It's me through you, all right? Don't forget this. And lastly, Pastor Titus was encouraged to correct the churches and all the communities on the island of Crete, exercising full biblical authority as he confronted opposition to God's holy standards. And y'all, we know that there's communities, we know there's church communities right now that are facing this right now. Our brothers and sisters and other denominations are facing it, even in the Southern Baptist Convention, which we're Christian first, just so you know. We never identify ourselves as a Southern Baptist church first. We're Bible-believing Christians first. We just affiliate with our brothers in the South Carolina Southern Baptist Convention. But should they ever turn their blinker left, guess what we'll do? We're always going to stay right as God is our witness. Amen? This is the authoritative source that we live by. You can get frustrated with it. Listen, you can get angry. You can say, I wish you would stop talking about that. And what happens is, listen, if God speaks about it, guess what you should do? You must listen, obey, and trust. L-O-T, do it a lot, right? Listen, obey, and trust God's word. You say, well, it divides. Does God's word divide? Jesus said, you might be surprised. I don't know if you know this or not. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to divide. What did he mean? He's the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6, he is the Prince of Peace. But he himself said, I came to divide. And what he was talking about, the division is, it's simply people want, everybody's not going to go with us. When you give out that Jesus Christ is the only way, if you got Muslim friends, I have some, Jesus never claimed to be God. The Bible doesn't say Jesus is God. Did Jesus read Titus chapter 2? Our great, God's great grace, right? Our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Did you know there's some theologians that try to split that into a double sentence so it says, our great God, cut it in half, and Savior Jesus Christ. Even the liberals can't mess that up, right? If it was talking about, let's just play their game. If it was talking about the Father, he's equating Jesus to the Father as one. But that's not what it says. It's very clear, our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God, not a God, not like our Kingdom Hall folks try to put on there. They try to put a little A, a little G to make him small or less than, that he's a created being. Jesus is God. Jesus has always been God. Jesus will always be God. You say, well, I don't fully understand that. Welcome to the club. Amen? It is by faith, right? He gives you the grace. He comes to you, gives you the grace and faith to understand and receive that it's enough to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You say, well, how do I do it? It's simply this. Look, there's crosses. We wear them as tattoos today and as chains, and you'll see the most foul-mouthed gangsters wear crosses, right? MS-13 wears crosses, right? Because they want to associate somehow. But here's what the cross of Christ means, the Christ of the Bible. He died on the cross for your sins and for mine. The Bible is very clear. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart, not your bloody muscle, but with all of your being, with your soul, that God raised him from the dead. He says, if you believe these things, you can be saved. A child can understand this. An adult can understand this. But really and truly, none of us understand it fully. It's by his grace and faith. Like, and all we can say is, God, you're so good. You're so good. Why would you do that for me? And he says, what's his character? It comes out. He says, because I love you. I love you. Isn't that amazing to think about? God loves you and he loves me. And we teach the kids, right? Let's sing it together just for fun. Let's sing it together. Jesus. They are weak, but he is strong. Really big. Let's go really big. Kid. Never forget that elementary truth and that magnificent truth. Let's pray. Father God, today in your presence as we teach children those songs, Lord, may we never forget. May it never get old of saying Jesus loves me because the Bible tells me so. May we never be the ones who give up on you. May we be ones, Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, are energized, are zealous for good works, that we might tell someone, we might disciple someone for Jesus Christ. Father, we look forward to your return. That blessed hope we didn't even get to talk about this morning. But Lord, as we took the Lord's Supper just a couple weeks ago, Lord, we took it in remembrance of what you did for us on the cross. And Lord, we also took it in 1 Corinthians 11 for your return. Lord, we look forward to what you're going to do, what you did do, what you're going to do, and what you're currently doing. Lord, we bless your name. There could be folks, Lord, that's come to our church today and maybe watching by social media that have never given their hearts and lives to Jesus Christ. They've heard of the love, they've heard of the grace, they've heard of the faith given by God. Father, I pray that you would actually prick their hearts, that today would be the day of salvation for them. They would truly know that they know that they know that they belong to Jesus Christ and experience the joy that comes with salvation. Help them, I pray, in Jesus' name and for his sake, amen.